I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello again. As the intro just stated, Brad here with you. With, once again, my co-worker, my colleague, my cohort, Brendan Farrell. He's been on the program, once before? And I've decided to bring you back, so obviously you did okay.
Yeah, no, it's always nice to know that I've done something right, so.
Exactly. And with us, as always, is Pod Gator, holding down the fort, running the board. We got quite a show to bring you, a lot of good stuff from volleyball and football. We'll have the Athlete of the Week nominees at the end of the show as well. Just a reminder that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalsports. And check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor. We had the meat lovers today, and then we had the Alfredo chicken. Both popular choices around here. You and James were still eating on it just before the show started, or at least he was.
It's mostly James.
How does he eat so much?
I don't know.
He's smaller than both of us.
You know, it's also, by this time, it's cold, and I would have thought, you know, him being from New York, that he'd be a little more picky about it, but I don't think so.
You know, for a Yankee, James is pretty cool. anywho, so there you go. Check out Pizza Doctor at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Okay, we're going to hit the volleyball first real quick. Lafayette last night playing Pontotoc in a Region 1-5A match, and the Commodores got the sweep. Brendan, you were there. Tell me about it. Harmony Jackson, that's the storyline.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that's the story. She was just all over the place. I mean, they had one of their senior outside hitters out. Mm-hmm. And so it was like front row, back row, whatever. We don't care where Harmony is on the court. We are going to feed her. Yeah. And she's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, she's got, well, you've seen it, the vertical she's got, man.
She's like a state high jump champ, isn't she?
She probably is, and is a really good basketball player as well. Yeah. So, yeah, she can get off the floor, and she had, 18 kills, was it?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. As always, extremely unofficial.
Right.
stat keeping by me, but yeah. That's what I counted.
So that keeps them they're unbeaten in division still.
Yes. Okay. They get, I think it's New Hope up next.
Okay. They should win that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So a sweep there of Pontotoc, which has had kind of a so-so season. Usually a pretty tough opponent. So that was a Tuesday night. You can find Brendan's story at djournal.com or. Will be in tomorrow's journal. And then looking at the, man, this is this 1-3A race has just been thrown into chaos, partly due to that injury to Kirsten Moody, the Belmont star that was lost for the season a couple of weeks ago to a knee injury. So right now, Mantachie leads the region standings at 3-0, not what I would have picked before the season. But they've done a great job. They haven't lost a match all year, 17-0 overall. You got Alcorn Central at 2-1. Belmont is 3-2. Of course, they play each other twice, and Boonville is also in that division. So six matches total in region play. Now, Mantachie and Alcorn Central will meet this Saturday and again on Tuesday. So those two matches will be huge and could decide the region number one playoff seed. But Mantachie first has to play Belmont on Thursday. And even though they don't have Moody, and they beat them last time when they didn't have Moody. It's still Belmont, and that's going to be a tough match. We could actually end up having a three-way tie at the top if Belmont can beat Mantachie on Thursday and then Mantachie and Alcorn Central split. Now, Alcorn also has Boonville left to play but should win that match. So you could potentially have a three-way tie with those all with 4-2 records. Alcorn Central can make things – well, either them or Mantachie can make things easy by sweeping the other. So it's a lot of different scenarios that could happen, and I'm going to try to go to the match on Saturday when Alcorn visits Mantachie. Mantachie, I haven't seen him play. You've seen him play, though. Very different kind of team than Alcorn, and Belmont, more defensive minded. They don't have a Kirsten Moody or an Allie Kirkland type that's going to get up there and, you know, do what they do, or what, you know, like Harmony Jackson does, or Macy Pfeiffer at Ingemar, but very defensive minded. They're going to keep the ball off the floor and really make you work for a point, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay. I just said it so well, you had nothing to add.
No, I'm just trying to, like, go back through my memory bank here and be like,
Oh yeah.
When was the last time I saw Mitachi volleyball? I was trying to remember.
Didn't you cover them against Nettleton early in the season?
Or was that James? I don't think so. I think it was James. I think you're stuck on it because I've been covering Mitachi football the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you have.
I think that's it.
I've been seeing you out there a lot lately.
I don't think I've...
I thought you had covered them at one point.
No, I don't think so. I think I might be a little bit confused because there was a stretch there where it was like I covered like Tupelo Amory and then like Amory and somebody else, then somebody else played somebody else, and then
Well,
it's all been a little bit of a blur. So
yeah, well, regardless, I mean that's I think I saw Mantachi early in the year against Ingemar, and that is kind of, like I said, that's kind of the style they play. They're going to try to get, you know, long rallies going and just keeping the ball off the floor, and seems to be working. Christy Montgomery, the coach, she wins at softball. She obviously knows how to win at volleyball as well. So there's your volleyball update. Football time. Let's rewind. We're halfway through the season, Brendan. It's hard to believe. Through the regular season. Five weeks. It's what I hate about football season. It goes too fast. But we're starting to see some themes emerge, some teams emerge. Like last week, I went down to East Webster. They hosted Calhoun City, former region foes. But, just that mic stand is just busted. So if you need to adjust it. It'll slowly just descend.
Until we'll make it work.
On the desk. Calhoun City visited East Webster. Non-region game, because East Webster now is in 3A. Calhoun City still in 2A. Calhoun City won 20-7 and now is number one in our small school rankings, which have been all jumbled up the last 2 weeks, because first they had Cal City beating Nettleton a week before last. Nettleton at the time was number two in the rankings. They fell out. And then Nettleton goes and beats number one Biggersville. And so that leapfrog Calhoun City into the number one spot, got Nettleton back into the rankings. I think I put them at number three, and then I got Biggersville dropped them to four. You still got Kossuth holding at two and Boonville at five. So Cal City, impressive win. I mean, they do what Calhoun City has always done when they're really good, and that's run the ball relentlessly and effectively and just shut you down on defense. And now East Webster has some dudes on offense. Bryston Johnson, you got the quarterback, Caleb Warnock. He's really good. Got some other good athletes out there. They just couldn't get anything going. I mean, the only touchdown they scored was on the short field after a botched bad punt snap, like on the first possession of the game. Otherwise, you know, couldn't do anything. 100 total yards, only 27 on the ground. That's not what East Webster is used to doing. Conversely, Jamaja Mays had another nice night running the ball for Cal City, 103 yards and a touchdown, but was really impressed with the quarterback, Evan Conley. I don't think he had but like 11 or 12 pass attempts on the season coming into this game. He had 11 in this game alone, completed 8 of them, and had a big 20-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter on a 4th and 15. Just threw it up to the 6'3" Trail Duro, and he beat his man to the end zone and made the catch. And so, nice night for Conley, threw for 97 yards, and got some tough yards on the ground too. That last drive, East Webster's down 20-7. They go three and out deep in their own territory. They punt it with 7 minutes, 20 seconds left. You figure, oh, okay, they'll get it back. Never saw the ball again. I mean, by that point, Mays was out because he had cramped up. So it was basically just Conley running the ball over and over and just got some huge third down conversions on that drive, and they ran out the clock. So very impressive win by Calhoun City. 5-0. I think it's safe to say the Wildcats are back. You know, they had to kind of rebuilds, or whatever you want to call it, the last few years under M.D. Jennings. You could see the progress they were making, like last year, but looking like the old Calhoun City we're all used to seeing. Then we had Morville, also still unbeaten, Brendan. I know so many people named Brandon, so.
It's okay. We've only worked with each other for almost half a year at this point. It's fine. You know.
Yeah, I know. I'm bad with names. So Morville, undefeated, going to Mandachi. You're like the unofficial Mandachi beat writer.
Yeah, no, I feel like I have to like kind of recalibrate a little bit because like for better or worse, like Mandachi plays football just kind of differently than everybody else.
Right? Yeah, they do.
The weird kind of spread wing, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some kind of option, Notre Dame box.
Yeah, and then Morville will run the ball, but they like to spread it out and fling it around with Wyatt McDaniels at quarterback. And I really did expect this. I mean, I'm not surprised Morville won. What was it, 40-0?
40 to – Yeah, I think it was 40-0. It was either 40 – no, it was 42 because of a late safety.
Okay. But anyway, was kind of surprised it was that big of a blowout. I know Mantachie lost most of its offensive production from last year. But, you know, that offense is just tough to defend, period. But Morville, I mean, as impressive as they've been offensively, man, that defense has been really good this year. And obviously, that was the case against Mantachie.
Yeah, no, that was the big thing. It was just Mantachie, I mean, they scored 0 points. I mean, they just could not, they couldn't move the ball. You know, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, just one of those things where you get an option offense into second and third and long, and it's like.
Yeah, and throwing's not their strength. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And McDaniels had a really good night. I have to go back and look at his numbers, but seemed like he had a
good. Yeah, he got held back by some drops early on. I don't think I published the numbers, but I think I had him on along the lines of like 8 for 18 or something.
Okay.
But it was like every pass that was completed was, you know, for first downs or right. for touchdowns. Like it was.
Yeah.
It was very explosive.
Yeah, looking at his numbers. Pulled him up here. It was 8 of 17 for 139 yards and 3 touchdowns, no picks. It's just like you said with those drops. I mean, he had a good night throwing the ball.
Yeah, no, it's hard to argue with that. So,
yeah,
it was pretty dominant.
Yeah, I mean, kind of wonder when's this team going to trip up. This week probably won't be the week, but next week is when they play Nettleton.
Yeah, it's going to get real interesting once they get into region play, I think.
That's a tough region.
It's not going to be easy.
No.
That's for certain.
No, I mean, you just look at the teams in that region. That's 4-3A. You've got Aberdeen, which is a little down this year. We got Choctaw County. They're not great, but they've got Caleb Cunningham at receiver, Mr. Five-Star. So you got to deal with that guy. Then you've got East Webster, which is obviously good every year. Then you got Nettleton, which is, you know, just knocked off the number one small school. So that will really tell us how – I mean, obviously Morville is much improved over last year. I mean, 0-10, you can't really do any worse than that. But to be 5-0, Jimmy Young has done a tremendous coaching job. I am really curious to see how well they can do in region play. It's going to be fun to watch. So
yeah, they're kind of playing with house money at this point, right?
I know, right?
I mean, you know, nobody before the year thought, yeah, you know, they were going to win the region or anything. So
no.
You know, you might as well go in there against.
They got as much, yeah.
Have fun.
They got as much momentum as anybody.
It's kind of, I think, maybe the interesting thing about having a freshman at quarterback is
he probably just doesn't know any better. Just out there doing his thing.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, you watch him. I mean, he doesn't play like a freshman.
No, he doesn't. He really knows the position really well, considering how old he is. Morville remains unbeaten. Looking ahead, man, we got some big games this week. Of course, a lot of teams open region play. This is not a region game, but it's a pretty good rival game, even though they don't play every year. I think they should. But Tupelo and West Point at Tupelo on Friday. Good to see Cannon Daniels, who's committed to your alma mater, University of Florida.
Why'd you use past tense? Still committed.
Go Gator. things can change. But he's, you know, the bulk of their offense. And you think, oh, well, stop him, you stop West Point. Well, yeah, that's what everybody's trying to do, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, it's a lot easier said than done.
Because they've always got some good offensive linemen. They execute. I mean, and they've got enough guys in other spots on the field that can hurt you if you just aren't paying attention and load up on Cannon. So West Point coming off a bye week, 2-2 record. They played a brutal schedule so far. I mean, those two losses came to reigning state champs, Starkville and Louisville. Tupelo, of course, reached the 6A North Final last year. Tupelo coming off its first loss of the season up at Houston, Tennessee, 38-33, back-and-forth game. But this game, if Tupelo plays like it should, like it's capable of, I see Tupelo winning. Probably a close game. You never know how these things will go. But they got Tristan Jernigan back last week, so the defense, certainly glad to have him on the field, a linebacker. And I mean, the offense, looking at the numbers, seemed to play well in that loss to Houston last week. So I don't know. It's the game I'm going to be at, because I just really want to see Cannon Daniels at least one more time before he graduates. I'm sure I'll see him in the playoffs or something. But
yeah, Brett, I think you've done a little more work on the Tupelo side of things than I have. So do you know anything about, how they're feeling after that loss? Have you talked to Ty?
I'm actually going to talk to Ty here in about 30 minutes or as soon as we're done with this podcast and get his thoughts on that. So and he did tell me last week, though, before the game, that regardless of the outcome, he thought it would be a really good experience for his players to play in that kind of atmosphere, because apparently they have a really good fan support, really good facilities, and obviously a really good team. So he felt it would benefit them regardless of, win or lose. And at this point, the losses don't really matter because it's not region play. So I imagine he's probably feeling upbeat just now that he's gotten to see some things that they need to work on and can only make them better as they get ready for region play, which I think starts next week for Tupelo, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they go to Madison Central. So anyway, I'll have an update. I have a preview of that West Point Tupelo game in Friday's Journal. We got Louisville and Houston, rematch of last year's 4A North Final, which Louisville won en route to winning the state title. Louisville is, they're very good again this year. They've beaten some really good teams, including Starkville. Struggled last week, though. They only beat Noxubee County 7-6. I mean, Noxubee's good, but that's a 3A team. And, after seeing what they did against teams like Starkville and West Point, you figure it wouldn't be that close. So I don't know if they were missing some guys, but Houston is 5-0. Louisville's 5-0. Houston's got Jalen Washington at running back. He looks like he's pretty much his old self. He's got over 600 yards rushing, coming back from that knee injury. Jaden Knox, seen him play, impressed with his work at wide receiver. Steele Brooks at quarterback, just really good at running the offense and can hurt you with his arm and his legs. Good dual threat. This should be a really good game. I would favor Louisville probably just because, they're the champs. But looking forward to seeing how that one goes. And we got Kossuth at Boonville. And by the way, that's a region game, region opener for both in region 3-4A. Yes, 3-4A. And then in 1-3A, you got Kossuth at Boonville. And that's a top-five matchup. Number 2, Kossuth. Number 5, Boonville. Both teams entering this game with records of 4-1. And, when I talked to Boonville head coach Scott Brown before the season, one question he felt he needed answered by this team is, are they tough enough? And this is the game that'll tell you if you're tough enough, because you're playing Kossuth, and they are gritty, pride themselves on defense and running the ball. They got a good dual-threat quarterback in Hank Eaton, Brady Kelly at running back, coming off a big game last week. And so if you're not tough, Kossuth will run you off the field. And I've seen Kossuth play this season. I haven't seen Boonville yet, but, they got the weapons like Noah Gillen and Zion Nunn, but I think this game is going to be won like a lot of games in the trenches, but especially so in this game. So, Kossuth at Boonville, Region 1-3A matchup. Okay. Athletes of the Week, that's it. Did I get everything? Look at that.
Yeah, I think so.
It just went so fast, it felt like I didn't realize we were almost done. Athletes of the Week, what we're doing now, we have a Twitter poll, at DJournalSports. You can vote amongst three candidates, three boys and three girls for Athlete of the Week. If it's not posted yet, it will be shortly. But the female candidates are Rhiannon Hicks of Pontotoc Swimming, Ella Phillips of Amory Volleyball, and Dusty Tennyson of Walnut Volleyball. Male Athlete of the Week nominees, Brewer Bailey of Tupelo Christian Football, Emmanuel Randall of Amory Football, and J. Cole Williams of Bruce Football. Got an update on Bruce and J. Cole this week, didn't we? That was you, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, go read it. It was in, I believe, in today's paper. Thanks again for joining us. It's all the time we have, but we come to you every Wednesday. Look for us on Spotify, iTunes, online at prepperally.djournal.com. Again, follow us on Twitter at djournalsports. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Brendan's on there at, I can't remember.
It's at bferrell77.
There you go. I'll get it one of these days.
It's Kay James. Know it at all on Friday.
That's so true. He didn't. Yeah, and check out that we do an Instagram Live every Friday night after all the football games and recap some of the big results. So look for that if you got the IG. Pizza Doctor, thank you for sponsoring the show and for the delicious pizza. We'll see y'all next time.